What's up, everyone? Welcome to Dropping Dimes, your two cents of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And today is a very, very special day because after many episodes, the original crew is back, baby. We're back.
Big three.
I am joined today again by the newly appointed Blazer Bros. On one side, I have the Zen Master Evans. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
He's just a bandwagon fan.
Oh, man.
The Blazers are going to have such a short stint. And back for we'll see how long. The man that once jumped into some shrubs, the other half of the Blazer Bros, Raphael, how are you doing?
It's great to be back. I was away on a business development trip for Dropping Dimes for a while, but now
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's a movement.
We're going global.
Overseas, actually. Overseas.
How's our business doing?
It's doing great. It's just starting. It was our first business development trip. I went to Italy, to France, to Colombia.
Mamma mia.
Yeah.
How many partnerships did we accomplish?
Just a couple for now because I didn't have any stickers, so... I didn't have any Dropping Dimes stickers
right
with me.
I'm sure that was a problem.
It was tough.
All right. Well, it's fantastic to have everyone back, the OG crew. But we have a ton to talk about. Actually, there's only one thing to talk about, and that's the NBA Finals. Because today, as of June 9th, 2019, the Toronto Raptors are up in the series 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors.
I can't believe you're saying that.
Yeah.
It feels surreal.
Yeah, right. It was surreal when we heard that they were going to the finals, but the fact that they're a game away is just
mind-boggling.
And the fact that for most of my adulthood, I've watched so many horrible Raptors teams, it feels like it cannot be true.
I think it's one of the starters. I think Taz, he tweeted out, "This is for all the Toronto Raptors that had to cheer for Andrea Bargnani, Bruno Caboclo, every other draft bust that has been through the Raptors and those quirky teams. This is for them, really. They are the true MVPs of this series for being so patient."
I just feel bad that Lucas Nogueira is no longer with the team. And
I think he was there in game one.
No, Lucas Nogueira is playing in Europe now. I don't know where he's playing.
For fans like me that don't know who Luca is, please explain.
He just happens to be Brazilian, so that's why I know him.
Okay.
He played quite a few games last season and the season before that, right?
Yeah, he's got a lot of tattoos on his face.
Yes.
He's got this weird, like, dreads.
He's a rapper.
I don't know. I don't think so.
He's a basketball player.
With tattoos on his face.
Yes, Lucas Nogueira Bebe. That's his nickname.
Bebe.
The other Luca, not the Wonder
Boy. Not to be confused with Nene. Okay. This is Bebe.
Done.
And there was also Baby that also played for the Toronto Raptors in the early 2000s. He played one season only, Rafael Baby Araujo. It was
so
horrible.
This is for Araujo. This is for Jose Calderon, Garbajosa. All those European, Latin. Oh, Barbosa was also a Raptor.
Yes,
Leandrinho was also a Raptor.
Yeah. The blur.
But
Jesus,
this is for Rafer Austin. Rafer Austin, I wish he was still playing with the Raptors because he deserves to.
He's still a Raptor.
I think you're stuck in the 90s, but we've been over this many, many times.
90s, 2000s, yeah.
All right, so believe it or not, the Raptors took games 3 and 4 in Golden State. Everyone thought that if they could steal one of those games, that would have been just gravy.
Yeah.
But they went down to the Oakland area and stole both games. It was just business for both of them. I mean, game three was... Klay was out. Obviously, let's put that out there. So it was a depleted roster from the Warriors. But still, I mean, when was the last time that we saw the Warriors, I guess, against the Clippers, they lost this year?
Right.
One of those games.
Back-to-back.
Yeah. But this is the first time in I don't know how many years, or possibly the first time since the Steve Kerr era, that the Warriors dropped two home games back-to-back.
In the playoffs, yeah.
And obviously, game four, Klay is back, no KD still. The Raptors were down for majority of the game, right up until the third quarter, actually. And usually the Warriors are the third quarter team, but not this time around. The Raptors just took the reins and just took over that game and beat the Warriors by a large margin. It didn't feel like we were watching, honestly, it was like the Warriors were the underdog, and the Raptors were the Warriors. They were playing very Warrior style, like free ball, lots of passes, lots of threes. Kyle Lowry was balling out of his mind. Anyways, how do you guys felt about games 3 and 4? Let's start off with game 3. So no Klay, there was that expectation that maybe that was the one that the Raptors could take.
I think that's that. You said it, like, no Klay, that's huge. That's a good 20 to 30 points, plus really good defense.
Yeah.
I think that's the key part, too, because forget, yes, Klay is a good shooter. He can score at any time, but for him to lock down another defender, I think that's a huge part, because that's what the Raptors are doing. They're playing better defense.
Right.
I think game three, when we knew that Klay was not going to play, it was not that big of a surprise that the Raptors were able to steal that one.
Yeah.
Steph had a great game. I think 47 points, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that was game four.
Game no.
He had a good game.
He still had a good game.
He had like 35 points, I think.
Game three. 35 points. I mean, but the problem, I feel like the main problem now is that the Warriors, they decided to get rid of a lot of the support players when they brought KD.
Right.
And then they signed DeMarcus Cousins. And, you know, like their support players, they've been getting like worse and worse, their support team, because they have too many stars. So now when they see themselves without Klay, without KD, DeMarcus Cousins is coming back from an injury, they don't have enough power. They don't have enough strength to steal those games. So Iguodala cannot hit a three. It's amazing how many clear looks Steph gave to Iguodala, and he cannot hit a three.
He hit that dagger though in game two.
Yeah, but then after that,
he
missed all of his shots.
Yeah.
The defense, the Raptors defense, they already know that when he gets a clear look, he's not gonna shoot or he's gonna miss if he tries to shoot.
They've been sticking to their game plan for sure. Like whether he's open or not, I think they've stuck to it. Just go by the percentage, let him shoot. We'll worry about if he hits it or not.
In other podcasts and even on TV, after game one, everyone sort of mocked Nick Nurse's strategy for the box and one.
Janky D.
Yeah, the Janky D. But it's working. I mean, Steph's not getting the looks that he's used to. Obviously, he can create his own shot, and he's still dropping 45, 47 points, right?
Yeah.
But it's taking a toll on the Warriors. Like Steph is spending a lot more energy trying to create those shots, right?
But also, it only works because they don't have a second player that can score, because KD is out and Klay was also out. That's why it's been working so well, especially game three. Because this style of defense, the reason why it works well in high school, it's because normally a high school team only has one player that is better than all the other players.
Right.
And he's the one that's doing all the scoring. So if you manage to control that guy, then you have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Warriors without Klay and KD, it's basically the same. Cook is the other guy that can hit three pointers, but he's not shooting well. Where is the other guy? Livingston? He's mid-range. He's not going to shoot threes.
Yeah.
Iguodala, he cannot shoot threes. Cousins,
also McKinney.
Same. So, I mean, it's without KD and Klay, then they don't have another guy to shoot three-pointers.
So, obviously, Klay was out for game three, but he said that he was ready to play. He was ready to go, right? And, I mean, I really respect that from Klay because he knows what's at stake.
Yeah.
But was it the right move to not let him play game three? Just sort of making sure that his leg was okay for the rest of the series. Obviously, this is all in retrospect because, you know, they lost both games, so there's nothing that can be done. But if you guys were Steve Kerr and the coaching staff, would you have let Klay play if he said that he was feeling fine?
I wasn't 100% sure on his status. Did he have a choice to come back?
I don't think he was given a choice. He was questionable.
Okay.
He was never complete. He was never ruled out.
He was suited up to play.
Yeah, he was suited up. Yeah, but he just didn't play. And he knew beforehand, before the game started, that he was not going to play.
I think it's much easier to analyze this now because we know what happened with both Game 3 and Game 4. And we also saw how he played during Game 4. He played well. He was great during Game 4.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he tried to play Game 3, if he would have been as effective as he was for Game 4. The only reason he was ready for Game 4 is that it's because he rested for Game 3. So it's very hard for us to, you know, try to imagine what would have happened if he played Game 3.
But
I think he was clearly not ready.
Yeah, I mean, maybe even worse, because the fact that he played Game 4 and he did all right, but they still lost, means that he's just not at 100%. Otherwise, they could have snuck away with a win, right?
But
right.
then again, even if he's like a 30%, he can hit more three-pointers than Andre Iguodala. So I think
right.
he would make a difference.
But that's the offensive end, right? Like he's
yeah.
he's known for his defense
as well.
So that's
yeah.
the big that's the big part. It's like his scoring helps, but for him to be able to stop someone, I think is more important in this series.
Also, I think we all forget about how much Klay contributes to defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's a little bit hobbled, that's in favor, that plays in favor of the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
So Klay can still save his energy for the offensive side.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not 100% on the defensive side, that means that, you know, your Van Vliet's, your
yeah.
Kyle Lowry's are getting easier
open
looks.
Yeah.
Right? Which actually that was a little bit more evident in game four when Kyle Lowry, Van Vliet, everyone, like all the guards had pretty good
multiple
looks.
Threes,
all
yeah.
the all the thick guards that Toronto has. Rafael has mentioned this a couple
yeah.
of times.
Yeah.
Like the thick team
yeah.
of the Raptors.
Thick yeah. guards.
They're all going to the same restaurant. They've all
same
been
diet.
Eating at
yeah.
Serge Ibaka's house. That's why. That's why.
Chef.
The thick Raptor players, they've all been to Ibaka's podcast. That's the.
It's a YouTube channel.
They've
yeah,
all been
it's
eating cow
channel.
Penis. That's
yeah.
all.
it's got a lot of protein, I've heard. So. Obviously, Steph's 47 points were not enough for Game 4. Klay had a very decent game, but, you know, now that, as of today, actually, KD has been upgraded to questionable for Game 5 on Monday. Do you guys think that KD is going to come back and play for Game 5?
I think it really depends on what kind of injury it really is. Because looking at our show notes here, it says KD's mystery injury.
I was just going to say on my notes here, I have it as a mystery injury because
I don't know.
I
think that's the fact. Like, we don't even know what's really happening right now, and they're keeping under the wraps.
Before we... I call it the mystery injury because, you know, when he first got hurt, the team said he was a calf strain. And then there were a couple of doctors that jumped on Twitter and said, you cannot strain your calf. You can only tear it. That's something that... You know, I don't know if these people actually have a medical degree, but they both said that a calf injury usually relates to a tear, and that's pretty bad because that takes a lot of rest. And obviously, at the level that KD plays, you know, they usually recommend almost a month out, which
minimum.
Is getting close to that.
Yeah.
Almost.
Really?
Like, at least it's been 2-3 weeks. It's almost
yeah.
half a month, right? So, I don't know. And they're... KD's camp hasn't also confirmed anything. Steve Kerr is somewhat secretive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he does a KD update, he just says if he's ready to play, he's going to play. If not, he's not going to play.
And also at this point, if you're KD, if you come back now, like really the chances of, you know, turning the series around are very, very low.
Right.
And you're exposing yourself,
yeah.
right? And he's going to become a free agent. Maybe he doesn't want to come back anymore.
Yeah.
Like
now
it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Let's talk about that. You bring up a really good point. You know, the narrative around KD coming back, right? Let's assume the scenario where KD comes back for game 5, right? And
they win.
Then all the rumors that were around, you know, the Warriors are a better team without KD, are going to be gone right away.
Not after one win.
I don't know.
They
I got to
finish the
I
series.
Never thought that it was true, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, sort of a throwback, like, oh, the Warriors pre-KD, whatnot.
Yeah.
But you cannot say that they're better without
arguably one
of the best players.
But also before he came, before he joined, they had a much better support team because they didn't have to get rid of a lot of players to bring that big of a star. So arguably they could be better without KD. They had a better team. Now they have more stars.
Right.
Now, if KD comes back and he's not 100% and they lose, then he's losing value for free agency. If KD
is he? No.
Well, because if he's not 100%, people are going to start questioning how bad is his injury. Do we want to invest that much on a free agent that we are not sure about his injury? Same thing as Kawhi.
So you're telling
Same
me that
Kawhi.
The Knicks are going to double guess themselves and like, oh, is KD the right person for the team now?
He's lucky that one of the teams that has a spot for a max contract, they're just stupid, playing stupid. So they're gonna spend the money anyways.
But I mean, if look at the Raptors, right? I mean, it was somewhat of a gamble at the time.
It was a gamble.
No one had seen Kawhi playing or even touch a basketball at that point.
But
And they went all in for it. They traded their superstar at the time.
Yeah.
And look at them now.
But I'm pretty sure that they had these discussions because they are a team that planned to take a risk or not take the risk. The Knicks, they're just going to take the risk.
But it's worth it, right? I mean, if the Blazers, say, had the chance to sign KD, even if it was hobbled KD, you go for it. Especially if he's a free agent. Like, you don't have to get rid of any of your pieces. Like, 1,000 times out of 1,000 times, you go for KD.
But he has nothing to lose if he doesn't come back now. Because if they lose without him, then the narrative will be, look, they really needed KD for the finals. He is a valuable player. He is a valuable part of that team, of the winning team. And if he comes back and they manage to turn around, then even better.
Right.
But if he comes back and he doesn't look 100%, then you might have a little bit of questioning regarding his health, like for next season, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's Game 5 is really a toss-up. There's a lot in the line for both teams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously, because the series is 3-1, so if the Raptors win, that's it. Series over. We have a new NBA champ. Kawhi would have stopped another three-peat from happening, so he stopped the Heat three-peat and the Warriors three-peat. So where does Kawhi stand in the list of legendary players if the Raptors win?
Trophy. I mean, a statue.
Statue. Outside Kawhi of statue. The Scotiabank Arena?
Yeah. I'm going that far.
I think he...
Come on, first championship?
Yeah.
Even if... Let's say that he takes his back and say like, all right, Toronto, thank you. You got your championship and I'm leaving. Let's assume that he does. Do we still build a Kawhi Leonard statue?
Oh, yeah. First one? Well, maybe not.
Do we put him on the Canadian Postal Service stamps?
We'll just put him on a dollar bill.
That's a very tough question. I mean, if he leaves, then, of course, the fan base is not going to be happy, not going to be impressed at all.
Why not? I mean, he delivered, right?
Yeah, but no one is expecting him to leave after this.
I think even Jerry would...
I think we're being overly optimistic.
I think Masai would do everything in his power to keep him.
I agree. I mean, I'm honestly in the camp of thinking that he's going to stay after everything's all said and done. But today, also during media availability before Game 5, someone asked Kawhi about, you know, the rumor of him buying property in Toronto. And he said, no, it hasn't happened yet, but it hasn't happened. So everyone sort of had assumed he had bought a house. That
Even
was
if
a sign
does
of him
buy
staying.
A property, though, he still cannot. He can still go to another team.
Yeah.
Well, but,
doesn't
you know,
mean much.
From all the NBA players who, you know, they generally take their summers off and they go to L.A. or
right.
a sunny place. I don't think anyone would buy just a house to be in Toronto.
No.
As much as I love the city and other NBA players say that they love the city, I don't think
it'd be a vacation.
NBA,
yeah.
I don't think Toronto is a vacation spot for NBA players.
Kawhi is very unpredictable. So it's, I mean, we can try to, you know, guess, but at the end of the day, like, it's very hard to predict what is going through his mind and if he already made his mind. Maybe he's still like discussing.
I don't think he has even considered it, to be honest.
No. He's trying to get that ring, and he'll decide after that.
Now, what about just going back to the Warriors? One last question. If you're the Warriors, how hard do you want to try to make KD stay? After all that has happened during this year, the fact that he's not playing the finals, if you're the Warriors, would you work harder on trying to make KD come back? Or maybe let him leave and try to work on a support, on a better support team for Steph and Clay?
That's a very good question. Thank you for raising that up, Rafael.
Without any planning, right? Without any planning.
No, but actually, you know, you bring up a good point, because today there were rumors that the team and management have been a little bit frustrated with KD's team for, again, having everything under a shroud of mystery and for him not playing, because there's so much at stake, right? For Steph, for Clay. I mean, Clay already missed out on a ton of money for not making one of the All-NBA teams. This is sort of the series where Steph's legacy could have been solidified. I don't think there's any question about him being one of the greatest players ever.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, a three-peat, there's only three teams that have only accomplished that, right? The Celtics, the Lakers, and the Bulls. And the Warriors, I mean, this is an opportunity that only comes once, probably in the lifetime of a player. And that's how you write history, right?
Yeah.
That's the Warriors have been a legacy, that's for sure. But, you know, 20 years from now, when people talk about NBA, or one of the greatest teams ever, this is where we could say the Warriors are arguably the best team to ever be assembled.
Yeah.
If they don't win this series, then we're going to look back and say, like, they were a fantastic team, but, you know, they lost to the Cavs after being up 3-1. And then they lost against the Raptors on their first NBA Finals appearance.
Mm.
Like, they just... I think the conversation would be, like, they were missing that X factor.
And
what was that X factor? I don't know.
And arguably, they were more fun to watch before KD than after KD.
Yeah, it's
for
different,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with seeing KD ISO.
It's nice. But it's different. Yeah.
It is different,
it's
different, yeah. It's not the free flow, fun offense, like Showtime.
Everyone's involved.
So
no one's watching.
If you ask me, I would try to bring cheaper pieces. Just let KD leave. Bring cheaper pieces to help Steph and Clay, and keep
make sure that you keep the
Splash Brothers together.
I don't know. I think if I was part of the Warriors organization, I'd say let's try to keep KD. I mean, the guy is one of the best.
It's true.
One of the top three players in the league, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who I would rank first, but KD's, you know, number one, number two,
top three. Yeah.
You know, at the worst, five if you really really are harsh.
No.
But I don't know, with Steph being somewhat injury prone, Clay can, you know, have sometimes slump, go through slumps. KD is consistent, right? The first half of the season, the narrative was that without KD, the Warriors wouldn't be where they were. And then when he got hurt and they kept on winning, the question became, you know, do they even need him? I say they do. Clearly they do, because they're down 3-1 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say, Evans? Do you keep KD or do you let KD go?
I'm okay with Raphael's answer, man. Like, let KD go and start building around again. Because, I mean, like you said, his injury might be questionable. He has the summer to, like, maybe rehab. But at this point, it's like, it's more fun to watch Warriors without a KD. I'm okay with that.
I mean, I personally don't think that KD is going to stay. But if you're the Warriors, you're going to try and make him stay, or try to put a package together for him.
It might come down to the injury status, I think. Yeah, whether it's serious or not, whether he can come back as who he is during the next season.
Do you think the Warriors fans are going to look back? Let's say that KD doesn't play tomorrow, and again, that's a wrap. You know, the Raptors win it all. Do you think the Warriors fans are going to say, KD gave up on us? Remember when LeBron left the first time from Cleveland? People said in Cleveland that LeBron had given up on them after playing the Celtics. Is that going to be the narrative for KD, or they're going to be like, thank you for your service, you know, you're going to be a Warrior for life, yada yada, go ahead and be free, young man?
I think LeBron in Cleveland was a little bit different, because he's from the region.
Yeah.
He was drafted by them. So it was like there was more like emotion there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was more emotionally attached to the city, and the city was more emotionally attached to him. I feel like KD with the Warriors was like, from the beginning, I've seen it more like a rental kind of thing, like LeBron in Miami.
Right.
It was not like something that I didn't see that attachment from KD to the city.
No.
I also didn't see that much of attachment from LeBron with Miami.
Right.
Maybe a little bit more, because he was very good friends with Dwayne as well,
right,
and so on.
Yeah.
But
well, we've talked a lot about the Warriors and what they're doing wrong, but let's talk a little bit more about the Raptors and everything that they're doing right. I mean, if you watch Game 3 and 4, they're moving as a unit. Like, if you are teaching basketball, you have to record these games. I am no coach, and we're missing Coach Clay on today's episode. He might be able to give us that insight, but it appeared to me that they all know what's the role, and they're sticking to it. There's, you know, it looked like the Warriors in 2015, there's no egos.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that Kawhi is alpha, a very quiet alpha.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can call him that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean,
he played like it.
Kawhi actually referred to Kyle Lowry as a quarterback and the leader
of
the team, right? He's the emotional leader of the team. And then you have players like Pascal Siakam that are extremely humble. They're there to win. Fred VanVleet, who after his son was born found himself, but you know, he's a bulldog right now on defense, and he knows that Steph is gonna hit some tough shots on him, but he's not giving up.
No.
You know, you have Serge Ibaka, a completely proven veteran that is just there to you know, give you a good stretch of like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And same with Marc Gasol. Like, he lost,
good passing,
obviously.
Good passing with Marc Gasol,
passing.
Right?
Yeah.
Marc Gasol lost his speed a long time ago.
Yeah.
But he's making
just
smart
plays.
Yeah. He's defensively, he's at the right time, at the right moment.
Yeah.
At the right place, I should say, not the right time. So what are the Raptors doing that everything is working so well?
For me, it's their bench. Like, they're actually reminding me of the earlier Warriors when they could just call upon anyone and they would just step in and do their job. So a very role-oriented team right now. Everyone's
yeah.
just sort of just sticking to what their strengths are and then really dominating it.
Yeah, no, I think adding Marc Gasol, like when it happened, we didn't realize that it was going to affect the team that much.
Yeah.
But his passing, it's also creating a lot of good shots for
yeah.
for Kyle, for Kawhi, and all the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle is passing the ball extremely well as well.
Yeah.
I think it was very beneficial to his game, the fact that he doesn't have the same responsibility that he had in the past.
Right.
Right.
That he needed to make shots,
yeah.
and he was like the second leading scoring on the team.
Right.
So now he's just like worrying about passing the ball,
yeah.
pushing and defending,
yeah.
and it's working.
Just doing what he needs.
And I also think that, like, a lot of kudos to Nick Nurse and to
Masai Ujiri.
Yes, his name is
huge.
Too complicated for me. But
all names are complicated.
Kudos
huge.
For him. Kudos for him. Kudos to him. Because,
huge.
You know what? He took the risk and it's working. It's paying off. Nick Nurse is also taking a lot of risks and it's working. But one thing that Evans mentioned, and I think... It's one of the keys, is the fact that there's no egos.
Mm.
Like they know where they want to get.
That's true.
And it's similar to the Warriors' first time they managed to get to the finals.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's one team that it's hungry and the other one that it's too spoiled because they've been to the finals too many years in a row.
There's that one comment from Draymond, I think before game 4 or after game 3, that he said, you know, we win game 4, we go to Toronto, win, come back to Oakland, and then celebrate the fun times ahead.
Yeah.
So that, to me, after I heard that, I'm like, it sounds like the Warriors are a little overconfident.
Yeah.
Maybe because they've been banking on the idea that KD's going to come back and they can reverse this thing. If you're the Warriors and Steve Kerr and everyone in that team, do you think that you have a chance at reversing that 3-1? They've been in that situation before. We were just discussing before the show. Last time that the Warriors were down on a 3-1 was against the OKC Thunder
yeah.
in 2016, and they came back to win that series.
Sometimes I don't know if you guys agree, but sometimes when I'm watching the post-game interview, it doesn't matter if it's Steve Kerr or if it's... Draymond Green or Steph Curry, when they're talking, it almost feels like they're tired, that they don't want to be there anymore because they've been... because it's like how many years in a row that
Four,
they get to the
five,
finals?
Five
years
five.
In a row. Like, that's...
That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's a lot of games and, you know, a lot of interviews, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It's almost like they want to go home and prepare for next season because...
Mm-hmm.
Like it's becoming too much of a struggle
right.
now.
Yeah.
So Steve Kerr, he looks much older now.
He looks tired.
Like he looks tired and
yeah.
he looks much older than when he took that job.
For sure.
So I don't know to what extent they still have, you know, fuel left in their tanks to fight for it. I feel like they're gonna try it, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not
yeah.
sure if there's still enough fuel there to fight for it. I'm not sure.
So I mean, just from doing quick math, the Warriors must be around the 500 game mark at this point, you know, give and take a couple of games. But, you know, assuming that they would have swept every series from the moment that they won the first year,
yeah.
They would be around 490. Obviously, they've gone to a couple seven-game series.
Great.
So they're, I would say, over 500 games at this point.
And one could say that it's also bad planning from the management. The GM is Bob Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah. One could say it's bad planning because if you've been there for the 5 years and you know that you're probably getting to the finals again for the fifth consecutive year, you gotta realize that this is gonna be the year that you're gonna need the bench players the most and the supporting team the most, because your stars are tired. And this is the year that they got rid of all the good players and they have the least help from the bench.
Well, but that's why they had Boogie, right? I mean,
true.
He was supposed to come back. I don't think they expected him to injure himself again. And he had a good game two when obviously they won. But after that, Boogie looks tired.
Stamina,
he looks out of place. I mean, I feel for the guy because obviously he's been through a lot of injuries, but I don't know if he's playable at this point.
And basically you replace JaVale McGee with Boogie.
Are you saying that? Wait, okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to say,
yes.
I'm not saying he's a better player than Boogie. I'm just saying that it's different style. And his style fits better with the Warriors than Boogie. Because JaVale is long, skinny. He can run the floor.
Yeah.
And Boogie is coming back from a bad injury. He's not able to run.
Yeah.
And now he got injured again. So he's out of shape. He's not playing like a superstar right now.
Is he injured again?
He got injured during the playoffs, right? And then he was out for
He came back for the finals.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one guy that maybe they didn't appreciate enough. And they thought that they could replace him with a superstar. But his style fit quite well with the style of the team. So,
And then you have, you know, on the other side, you have players like Pascal Siakam, who just like to run so much.
Yeah.
And he's got that KD physique where he's super lanky. He can just cover the floor in like four strides probably.
Yeah.
So even on that matchup
that
with Boogie,
matchup.
Yeah, Boogie can out strength him. But but Pascal is going to be a lot faster.
Boogie is like Zach Randolph, but 6 years earlier. Like Zach Randolph got fat and became Boogie when he was like about to retire, but he's been about to retire for like 5 years, Zach Randolph already. And Boogie is like Zach Randolph, but he's still like what, 28, 27?
Somewhere around that, yeah.
So it's almost like I wonder what's gonna happen with him for the next couple of years. Like is he gonna keep gaining weight and become more like a Charles Barkley kind of player?
I don't know.
But the secret weapon from the Raptors is Patrick McCall.
What? No.
That's the reason
why plays.
But the only player to actually have a three-peat would be McCall.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing that he actually posted something on Instagram or Twitter after they took game one.
Yeah.
And the fans were commenting saying, you know what, you're not even playing. Like, why are you posting stuff? You're not even part of the team. Like, you cannot brag.
That Warriors intel, right?
I mean,
I'm sure they must have talked to Patrick McCall and say,
that might be why they picked him up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, maybe that's how they came up with a janky defense, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Patrick McCall has at least some insight to provide.
Young Denzel.
It's kind of crazy to think that that guy hasn't missed the finals since he got drafted by the Warriors.
That is pretty crazy. That's got to be a record in itself.
That's a pretty nice career.
Yeah.
I just have a ton of rings.
You can retire now. You're good, McCall. You're sad.
Well, and the thing is that he's not even going to break a sweat, but he's going to drink champagne. So that's like, and he's going to get a ring if they win.
Living the life.
All right. It's predictions time, guys. It's game 5 in Toronto. Jurassic Park is going to be there. All of Canada is going to be watching.
Can't believe you're saying this right now.
I know. Who's taking game 5?
No KD, no win.
So that's a Raptors.
The Raptors win.
Yeah, I think it depends if KD is playing or not.
He makes
if,
a difference.
Jesus,
a difference
can both of you commit for once in your life?
No,
Blazer
brother.
This is
come on.
This is why, you know, this is how podcasts make money. You have to you have to give your hottest take here.
If the guys from ESPN are not picking a team,
they are.
They're
at the beginning of the series.
They're waiting for KD to see if KD is going to play or not. Why am I going to pick a team now?
You guys are, oh my god, I forgot how frustrating
roster,
it was to work with you too. No, okay, so Raptors for Evans, even though he didn't want to commit. Rafael, there's only two options.
Say, I'd love to see the Raptors win, but if KD's not coming back, then
no ifs or buts. Who's taking game 5?
Who's taking it? The Raptors are taking it, man. Come on.
So that's it. That's a wrap.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm
Rafael.
The Warriors just
oh
just
my
to
god.
Balance it
up.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Raptors.
Okay.
Although there's tremendous pressure on their side. but is they seem locked in.
Is there, though?
I don't know. I mean, after game three, there were no smiles. There was no celebration.
Right.
They were serious, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with game four. They interviewed Kyle Lowry right after the game. He didn't have a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He just said, like, this is all business.
They haven't done anything.
Yeah. Kawhi said, like, we cannot call ourselves a better team because we haven't won yet. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That laser-focused mentality is scary.
That says to me they're going to take it.
Did you guys see that gif of Kawhi, or Norman Powell trying to give Kawhi a fist bump before the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I saw that.
And Kawhi being laser focused. He ignored Norman Powell.
Nice.
And before they take the court, Kawhi just points at the tunnel. He's like, let's go.
Championship pedigree, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, he's very focused. But I also want to mention that and we were talking during the game, or after the game, we were talking on WhatsApp, and I said I thought it was like horrible to see the fans at Oracle leaving the arena.
You had a big problem with that. I don't know why.
Well, because you know, like that's
leave a finals.
Yeah, that's the proof. That's the proof that they're too spoiled.
Yeah.
They forgot that they had a losing team, a horrible team for like almost 10 years, and now because they had a good team for the
more
past
than
5 years,
seasons, let me tell you that.
Yeah, more than 10 years. Now, just because they got used to winning, they feel like they can leave before the game finished. Like,
yeah.
Especially during the finals. You don't do that.
No.
You don't do that.
I mean, I would never leave even a preseason game, which is the only thing we get here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I the only thing... I agree with you. But the only thing that I thought was kind of funny is you took it very personally. Let me find that text. Because you wish
there
them... You wish them the worst.
Well, I wish them. I wish them another 10 years of a losing team,
yes.
So that they can learn
the curse.
How to appreciate the winning
where
team.
Is it?
The Raphael curse just
yes.
came down.
Well, because you know, the Trailblazers, we're always there,
yeah.
But you know, for a while after that team with Rasheed Wallace and Damon Stoudemire and so on, there was a lot of rebuild going on, and then we had Brandon Roy. That got injured and Greg Oden. So I've been through that, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But you stuck through it.
Yeah.
And let me quote. They, Warriors fans, probably don't remember how badly their team sucked for most of the 90s and 2000s. Ha ha. They deserve to lose and go through the reality of having a losing team for 10 years again.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You took it very personally.
They're going to end up with a new arena. The most beautiful arena.
Chase Center, yeah.
Yeah, the most beautiful arena in the league, but then a losing team. Huh, that's going to be very fun, right? An empty seat.
Give him a chance, man. Come on. I mean, if your team is losing by 10, 20, not all of them are hardcore fans, right? There are people that had enough money to go to the finals, to be honest. The hardcore fans are outside, like in Jurassic Park. They're the people that cannot afford the ticket, but they want to cheer for their team.
And that's even more frustrating. The true fans, they cannot get a ticket to go to the finals. But then all these guys that live before the final whistle, they managed to get a ticket. They are going to become... That's my curse now. They are going
to
become...
Wait. We need to... Wait.
Dropping curses.
Yeah. Cursing Raphael. No, Wizard Raphael.
From Rumor Raph.
Rumor Raph is turning into Wizard Raph.
So once they have the new arena, what is the name of the new arena?
Chase Center.
That's next year, right? Next
yes.
season. So it's going to be... There's going to be no difference between the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. New arena and horrible team.
That's,
and a lot of empty seats.
That's a bit of a stretch.
My curse.
Ouch.
I think that's a bit of a stretch. They still have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Let's see.
But sure, let's go with that.
Or maybe 2 years from now.
Sure. It's there you go, Warriors fans. Give your worst to Raphael. Don't add me or Evers.
Yeah.
Leave us out. Raphael speaks for himself, not for dropping dimes.
The Chase Center is officially called the Curse Center.
The Curse Center. I like that. All right. We'll try to jump on this thing right after the finals are over. In the meantime, everyone, enjoy Game 5. If there's a Game 6, we'll be here to discuss Game 5 and analyze Game 6. Don't forget to follow us on social media, on our Instagram, at dropping.dimes, on Facebook, at dropping.dimes1, Twitter, at dropping_dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. If for some reason you wanted to send us an email, please contact us at contact@dropping-dimes.com. Our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. And that's it. If you're following us and listening to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, because iTunes is dead now, please make sure.
That's the end of an era for us.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm getting old. You're getting old.
We're all getting old. Yeah. Please rate us 5 stars. Leave us a review. It would mean the world to us. Otherwise, Rafael's next trip is going to be your house and he'll smack you in the face and you don't want that.
Wow.
I know, he's pretty violent.
Why do I need to be the bad guy?
Actually, no, I'm going to take that one back. If you don't leave us a review in 5 stars, Rafael will put a curse on you.
He'll start rumors on you.
There's a lot of crap going on. Welcome back, man. We miss you.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.
R.I.P. iTunes.